Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being here instead of beside the pool. I really appreciate it. I'd like to first acknowledge my advisor, Dr. Ajay Nair, who helped me in this project. So today I'm going to be talking about maybe a little bit more non-traditional controlled environment project involving grafted tomatoes. So today I'd like to give you a little bit of background in tomato grafting, outline my hypotheses, the experimental design, material and methods, and then go through some results that we had. So when you look at the history of vegetable grafting, it was first developed and utilized as a tool to combat soil-borne disease in Japan and Korea. As you look through the timeline of commercial grafting in Asia, they began with watermelon and then eggplant and moved into cucumber and tomato. The Western countries, such as the United States, we've been a little bit slower on the uptake and use of grafting beginning in the 1990s. And as of 2008, 40 million plus grafted tomatoes were still being imported annually into the United States. So we are definitely interested in how we can utilize grafting in the United States and make it more, more easily accomplished here. What are the benefits of grafting? A lot of work has proven soil-borne disease tolerance against root knot nematodes, verticillium wilt, fusarium crown rot and root rot, and bacterial wilt, but there's also promising results in terms of abiotic disease tolerance to flooding, drought, and issues with soil salinity or fertilizer toxicity. And when you look at grafting, this is a typical grafting timeline that has been adopted and utilized by most people in the industry, including producers. And you have a small period immediately after grafting where you want the plants in complete dark and high relative humidity conditions. And that is accomplished through the use of a healing chamber. And this is a typical example of a healing chamber. This is one utilized by us in our greenhouse at Iowa State University. Similar structures have been constructed by Dr. Carrie Rivard and Frank Lowe's. They did a lot of work in the healing chamber. But something we have found as we work with extension workshops and our growers is they complain about, well, I don't want to sacrifice that much bench space, or I'm not grafting enough tomatoes to justify sacrificing this much bench space for a healing chamber. So we began to wonder if there would be a simpler method to appeal to growers as they maybe transition into grafting or utilize it on a small scale, bearing in mind that our work, a lot of times we're working with farmers who use a high tunnel, and it's small-scale tomato production. So with that in mind, we had two different areas we wanted to explore. We hypothesized that 4 days of dark conditions would provide the highest percentage of plant survival using our low input method. We also hypothesized that a soil temperature of 26.6 degrees Celsius or 80 degrees Fahrenheit will promote root growth and improve transplant quality. In terms of experimental design, this was a randomized split plot. We had four replications inside the greenhouse, and there were 36 plants in each experimental unit because we used six 606 inserts. And this was conducted in two rounds, so we had grafted plants from January 19th through March 3rd and March 3rd through April 13th. And those timelines include the time from seeding all the way to termination of the grafted plants. And this is an overview of the study in the greenhouse. And you'll see that we were exploring the low put in input method of using a 10-20 clear plastic dome and using paint as the light blocking mechanism. And I'll expand on that in a moment. The scion, or the top portion of the graft we used, was Cherokee Purple from Johnny's Selected Seeds, and the rootstock was RST04106T from DP Seeds, and that is a rootstock that we had used in a high tunnel trial previously, so that's why we used this particular combination. Everything was seeded into 288 plug trays and then transplanted into 72 cell trays for the scion and 606 inserts for the rootstock. The capillary matting was used to apply bottom watering so that we weren't interfering by removing domes for overhead watering, and we also weren't damaging the grafts. And bottom watering is a pretty common practice for grafted transplant healing. And then we used an LC1 soilless mix. We used a splice grafting method, and this occurred at 3 weeks post-seeding. Something we have found with RST, the rootstock, and Cherokee Purple, is that you can seed both of those on the same day and graft successfully. In other cases, you have to stagger the seeding of your scion and your rootstock to be successful. With the splice grafting method, you are cutting at a 45-degree angle, and you're using a small silicone tube, ours was 2 millimeters in diameter, to join those plants back together. You're cutting below the cotyledon on the rootstock, and with the scion, you can cut above or below. Again, the main objective is to match your stem sizes for grafting success. And this is an example of one of my students assisting me. We had 3 honor students assist with this project. They were all trained in the way of grafting. And then I actually used a color coding system to keep track of who grafted what cell pack and then tried to block by grafter. And I also double checked to make sure that the effect of grafter was not significant and it wasn't in either round. So that was excellent. As far as the heat mats, we used a PM9A propagation mat, and those were plugged into a grow control thermostat, and both of those were from Pro Grow Supply Corp. And then the clear humidity domes. So they were the 3-inch tall domes that would cover a 10-20 tray. And the light blocking domes were first painted with a black Krylon spray paint, and then they were painted again with aluminum to try to keep the heat levels lower inside the domes and reflect the light back. The environmental monitoring, this would not have been possible without my classmate and friend Alex Litvin. If any of you have sat in on his sensor workshops from the conference prior, you know that he has a very good handle on how to do this. He assisted me in basically from scratch piecemealing together a sensor system and then programming it with the Arduino software program. So we had temperature sensors, and then for the soil, as well as temperature and humidity sensors. And then for tracking light conditions, we used the onset hobo pendants because we were able to easily fit those inside underneath the domes. As far as the data collection, we were obviously very interested in plant survival, and we looked at that at a week and a half after grafting. We also looked at the stem diameter relative growth to see changes within the scion stem size. We measured chlorophyll fluorescence as a stress indicator, and we looked at SPAD, and then we looked at scion and rootstock biomass, and that was on a dry weight basis. So looking at the temperature and relative humidity 7 days post-grafting, you'll notice that the effect of the heat mat did definitely increase our air and soil temperature. My hope had been to keep our relative humidity, of course, even throughout, and you'll see that if we were to conduct this again, we need to work on improving our humidity control across the treatments, because keep in mind we did not use an external humidifier or anything. We just simply had the dome placed over the plants for a low-input method. Looking at the plant survival, we had significance for the main effects across the board, which was really exciting. Heat had an 88% survival rate, and no heat had 68%. And days dark, 97%, 4 days dark, 75%, and 6 days dark, 64%. And this was one of the surprising results, looking at questioning if that light blocking step is needed in this situation. Looking at the interactions, anything followed by a similar letter is not significantly different at alpha of 0.05. And again, you'll see no heat, 97%, heat, 96%. And looking at the effect of heat and darkness, my hypothesis or my understanding of this being, of course, that with that bottom heat and those light blocking domes, we were driving the temperature up too high in there, and a lot of the plants were rotting off. Anything that was considered not surviving, the scion was either completely wilted or we had adventitious rooting from the scion over the rootstock just straight into the soil. Looking at stem diameter relative growth, we did see differences in size increase. And this is a method that's been used by the Ohio State University researchers. And you can see quite clearly the effect of dark conditions versus light in terms of that growth. Looking at SPAD readings, there wasn't too much excitement here. The mean effect of heat was not significant at all, and the effect of dark was slightly significant. Looking at the dry weight between the scion and the rootstock, heat and dark were significant for the scion. Heat did not affect the rootstock, which was surprising to me. And darkness did affect rootstock size. So this is an interesting indicator of plant health. It's not necessarily surprising that 6 days of darkness negatively impacted the scion biomass. And as we try to summarize all of this, root zone heat did not overall improve transplant health. Survival declined greatly. 4 and 6 days of darkness did not improve plant health, with the exception of SPAD, which was a slight difference. And our takeaway with this is this may be a possible system that we could use with our growers. I think it would be worth examining, again, with tighter control of our humidity in this situation. But we are looking in Iowa for how we can get grafting into the hands of our growers and make it more accessible. And I think this is a good step in the right direction. And with that, I would like to just take a moment to acknowledge everyone who got me here. This is my grafting team, very diligent at work. And my students, they enjoyed seeing who could be the best grafter. And in the second round, they actually beat me for percent of success rate. So they were pretty impressed with themselves. And with that, I would like to thank you very much.